Romans chapter 4. Hallelujah. Well, we want to give a shout out and a big welcome to everyone listening to our broadcast this morning in Europe. We're so glad that you're tuning in to this message. And what we want to do here at Grace, just before I get into the message, is we want to pray for our friends there in Europe that are listening. Amen. Because they're going through some difficult times just like we are. So we're going to take just a moment. We're going to pray for those of you who are listening to this broadcast there in Europe. And all of Grace Community Church is going to be here with me in praying for you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray for those who are listening to this broadcast. We pray for the countries of Europe, oh God. We pray for an outpouring of your Spirit, for a restoration of revival, oh God. Visit the nations of Europe. Visit those who are listening to this broadcast, their cities, their families, oh God. Touch, heal, restore hope to those nations and hope to those who are listening. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And all of Grace said, amen, 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 amen. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. I want to stop right there for a moment. We're going to read some more. But I want to talk this morning about don't give up your hope. Don't give up your hope. We want to learn some lessons from Abraham this morning, looking at Abraham. In this first verse here in verse 18, I want us to look at that again. Notice that phrase there, against all hope, Abraham believed in hope. Now that sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? But here's the thing. There are two things that are always going to be present in your life. That is the facts of your life and the promise of God. I'm going to say that again. Two things that are always present in your life. It is the facts of your life, the circumstances, the facts of your life, and there is the promise that is of God that's given for your life. And here we see Abraham, when it says against all hope, what were those hopes based upon? The facts of his life. Here is Abraham. He's 75. When the promise is first given that you are going to have an heir, a son. And so here he is. He's 75. He's 80. He's 85. He's 90. He's 95. He's 99. No son. What were the facts saying to Abraham? Give up. Let it go. It's never going to happen. It must have been something you ate. You didn't really hear from God. You know, whatever it is. Come on. Yep. You ever been there? So he had, on the one hand, he had the facts of his life. And hope that is based on the facts will sometimes become hopeless. Isn't that true? Maybe you've gotten a bad report about your health. Maybe you've gotten a bad report about your finances or whatever it may be. Those are the facts and they are real. Amen? Don't let anybody tell you the facts aren't real. They are real. Amen? Oh, I don't believe they're real. Well, step out in front of that truck and see what happens. The facts, they are real. We're not disputing that. And there will always be facts in your life. This morning, everyone here, we have a set of facts about our life. They may be good, they may be very bad, or they may be a mixture. But here's the thing. We have got to learn from Abraham that even though we look at the facts, we do not attach our hope to the facts, but rather we attach our hope to the promise. Are you listening? To the promise. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, what was that hope? The hope of the promise, believed. I want to tell you something. As long as you have a promise from God, you have hope. As long as you have a promise from God, help is on the way. As long as you got a promise from God, you have reason to be hopeful about your future. Now, the facts are always going to say one thing, and the promise is going to say something else. This is where we learn from Abraham. We learn from Abraham. Listen, facts deal with the reason and the circumstances, but the promise deals with the Spirit and God, and the promise is also real. Here's the thing. We have been trained, more or less, most of us, we have been trained to believe in the facts that we can see more than in the promise which we have not yet seen. Come on. We have been trained to believe that the visible is the real and the invisible is not real or as real. Come on. That's the way we've been trained. And so as we come into the kingdom of God, that thing is completely turned upside down. Now, as believers, we do not deny the facts, but the invisible has become more real than the visible. After all, who made the earth? The invisible God. When we say invisible, that doesn't mean that he's a cloud or something like that. It just means that this natural eye does not see God. To the natural eye, God is invisible. But God is very real. And God, the Creator, spoke all this that we call real into being. He is the Creator. That's one of his attributes. He is the Creator. Amen? Absolutely. If we had time, we'd look in Genesis. It says, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, it's all mine. I created it. So what we have got to do, like Abraham, is we've got to learn where to attach our hope. Do we attach it to the facts or do we attach it to the promise? And every one of us are facing that choice today. And I want to tell you, you can look, sometimes the facts, most of the time the facts in our life are speaking very dire things. They're speaking death. They're speaking destruction. They're speaking things that we really don't want in our life. But that's what they're speaking. And you see, it's a shame, you see so many people who have entered into a place of hopelessness because all they can see is the facts. And so we've got to be like Abraham. It says, against hope. What hope? The hope that the facts present. He believed in hope. What hope? The hope that the promise presented. Amen. And for every fact in your life this morning, God got a promise. For every fact of your life, for every circumstance that those facts dictate to you, God has a promise. And we've got to determine, what are we going to attach our hope to? To the facts of our lives or to the promise of God? Amen? Remember this, the facts do not alter the promise. First thing we need to learn, the facts of my life do not alter or change the promise. Are you listening? See, I don't look at the facts and then say, yeah, but, you know, God's promise, yeah, but. Because, you know what I'm saying? The facts change the promise. Too many of God's people walking that way. Oh, now I know, preacher, I know, pastor, I know God said that, but you don't know my situation. What? You don't know my facts. Well, I got news for you. I got facts in my life, too. Amen. And so, first thing we've got to learn, like Abraham, is the facts do not alter the promise. The promise has the power to alter the facts. So, like Abraham, notice what it says here in verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became what? He became what God said. When he put his hope in the promise, not denying the facts, but he put his hope in the promise, not the facts, the promise of God had the power to change the facts. Oh, hallelujah. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, let me ask you this. Are you saved? Well, you were a sinner. You got saved, now you're a child of God. Didn't that change the facts? The fact was, you were a sinner. The fact now, the promise changed that to what? You're a son or a daughter. The fact is, you were going to hell. Now, the promise changed that fact to you're going to heaven. If it works in the greatest thing, it'll work in these little things, won't it? See how the promise changed the facts? Amen. This is the reason we're getting the gospel out. This is the reason we put the gospel out to the nations. Because the promise of God in Christ Jesus will change their facts. And the biggest fact we want for them to be changed is the fact that they were going to hell, now they can go to heaven. They were a lost sinner, now they're forgiven and they're a child of God. Amen. Amen. So if it works in the greatest area, it's bound to work in the lesser areas. Isn't that true? Sure. the facts usually always stand in contradiction to the promise. Have you found that out in your life? And see, because we've been trained to live out of our reason, and there's a place for that, but when it comes to Christianity, we don't live by our mind, we live by faith. And faith is based on what? The promise of God. But see, we look at the facts, and then we look at the promise, and they're always contradictory, and we've been trained that the facts are real, and the promise is maybe not real. And so we live our life, and we allow the facts to dictate our hope. Our hope determines our peace and our joy, does it not? You find somebody hopeless, and I'll show you somebody that has no joy at all. Isn't that true? They're usually depressed. They're usually discouraged. And many times they even become despondent. Isn't that true? Why? They've lost hope. Because their hope was in the facts. And the fact says, forget it. But if we will understand that the promise of God stands there, and we have a secret weapon, we can choose. God gave you that right, and no one can take it from you. God says you can choose. Oh, hallelujah. You say, that is so simple. I know, but it's so profound. I can choose the promise rather than the facts. I can choose to attach my hope to the promise rather than the facts. And then when my hope is attached to the promise and the promise is connected to God, then I can have what? I can have confidence about the future. Because my confidence is not in the facts, not in my reasoning, not in, you know, what somebody else does, but it's what God has promised. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to tell you, God is a God of integrity. I know, you know, integrity is hard to find nowadays, isn't it? But God is a God of integrity. He's the same always. He'll never say anything unless He means it. But when He says it, when it goes out of His mouth, that's it. God will never take it back. So you find the promise of God concerning your life and your situation, and it may stand in contradiction, the facts may stand in contradiction, but notice it said here, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became. Became what? He became what God promised. And you will become what God promised to you if you'll do the same thing. Now listen, the promise, as I said, must become the basis of your hope rather than the facts. Facts represent a truth to which hope, or in this case, many times, hopelessness can be attached. But the promise also represents the truth, and we need to attach our hope there. And that hope, you know what? Then what happens is we start listening to the hope or the voice of the thing we've attached our hope to. Everything has a voice. Come on. Your problems have a voice, don't they? We call them worry, fears, anxieties, but they have a voice, don't they? You ever lay down at night and your problems try to talk to you? They do, don't they? They talk to you. And so everything has a voice. So when we make a choice, like Abraham made, all right, I'm going to attach my hope to God's promise, and if we will make that choice, and it's a choice you make every day. You make that choice every day. Then, when you lie down at night, guess what's going to speak to you? God's hope. God's promise. God's peace. He's going to talk to you. Everything's going to be all right. You'll be like the Apostle Paul. He was on a ship in the middle of a hurricane, and the ship was falling apart around him. And he said, "Don't worry, you crazy man. You wild lunatic preacher." That's what he said. He said, "Don't worry." He said, "God has already," I'm paraphrasing, but this is what he said. He said, "God has already promised me nobody's life will be lost." Oh, wow. The facts sure didn't back that up. All these professional sailors were about to pull their hair out because they knew what was happening. They'd thrown all the cargo over. Now the ship was breaking up. And this crazy, wild preacher man's telling me everything's going to be all right. Why? See, he attached what? His hope. What? To what God said. Yeah. what God said. Listen, this morning I want to ask you a question. What does your future look like to you? What does your future look like? Pastor, I tell you, the way things are going, I just don't know what we're going to do. I don't know if we're going to make it. I don't know. It just it looks bad. I don't know. Listen, I know right away when you start talking like that, I know what choice you've made. You've forgotten the promise. You've forgotten the promise. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4 real quickly here. Is this helping you? Listen to this. This is right where we live, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 4. Listen to this. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. What happens when you lose heart? You've lost hope. Isn't that right? You've lost hope. You lose hope. Usually, the give up is right behind that, isn't it? That's been my experience. I don't know what yours has been, but that's been mine. Though outwardly we are wasting away. What does that have to do? That has to do with our circumstance, doesn't it? The facts. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Now notice verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles. See, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to see your facts in the proper light. See, we look at our facts and we think, oh, they're big. Oh, they're insurmountable. Oh, they're insoluble. Look at them. But notice, God says here, He says, our light and momentary trouble. I mean, was this guy just out of touch with reality? What was going on with him? He said, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, therefore, we fix our eyes on what? Not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Not on the facts, but on the promise of God. For what is seen, the facts, is temporary. But what is unseen, the promise, is eternal. Why? Because it's come from an eternal God. And so the facts cannot change the promise ever, 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 ever. If it seems like it has, it's because you've made a choice. You've chose the facts over the promise. Now remember, we're not of those who deny the facts and say they're not real. They're very real. But the promise is more real. The facts are natural. They're temporary. That means what? Subject to change. Like the weather in Florida. It's subject to change, isn't it? And so we need to do this, so we begin to what? We begin to focus what? On the promise more than the facts. Are you listening? The promise of God leads to the strengthening of hope. Turn to Hebrews 6 real quickly. See, if you start looking at the facts, I can tell you what's going to happen. Your hope's going to get weaker and weaker, and you're going to feel weaker and weaker. You're going to begin to feel overwhelmed by the facts, overwhelmed by the circumstance, overwhelmed by fear and discouragement. Is exactly what happens, isn't it? But see, when we let our hope be attached to the promise of God and the living God, then there is a strengthening that takes place in us. How was Abraham able to go for almost 25 years and it says he did not weaken in his faith? Good gracious. Because he attached his hope to the promise and not his facts. So every day he got up, instead of getting weaker, he became stronger. And the same thing can work for you and I. If we will attach our hope to the promise of God, every day we're looking to the promise, we get up, every day we get up, we're stronger, we're more confident. Why? Because our eyes are upon the eternal God, not upon the facts. We know He can change the facts. Amen. Hallelujah. He's already changed a lot of facts in our lives, hasn't He? Hebrews 6. Have you found that? Probably have before me. Listen. The promise of God, the promises of God are based upon God's integrity. His unchangeable nature. Are you listening? I mean, this is it. When God says it, it's settled. Notice what He says here. He says, God did this, talking about His covenant, that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. If He has given you a promise in this book, then I'm telling you what, it's more settled than heaven. Because Jesus said heaven and earth will pass away before God's word. Oh, hallelujah. You're talking about a guarantee. Verse 9, he says, for it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us. How is the hope offered to us? Through the promise of God. Amen? This is how the hope comes to you, through the promise of God. He says, wherein we may be greatly encouraged. Oh, hallelujah. See, when you attach your hope to the promise of God, He says you're going to become what? Greatly encouraged. Verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. The soul, we know the soul has to do what? With the mind, the will, and the emotions of man. And listen, isn't that where the facts try to battle us? They either are affecting my reason, I look at this, and wait a minute, this doesn't add up. Or it affects my emotions. Fear or anxiety want to come on me as I look at my situation and the facts. But He says if we attach our hope to the promise, thereby attaching our hope to God, He said you will be greatly encouraged. And not only that, He said you're going to have an anchor. That hope is going to be an anchor for your soul. This is how Abraham could go for nearly 25 years, though he hadn't seen the promise change the fact yet. Every day he got stronger. Because he was convinced God's not going to lie. God did not lie. God is a God of integrity. And therefore, every day, see, I can grow stronger or I can grow weaker. It all depends on where is your hope. Where is your hope? Amen? The promise in time is going to produce in us, just like Abraham, a fully persuaded heart. A fully persuaded heart. Turn there to Romans 15. Romans 15. You know, sometimes this thing of hope gets left out, doesn't it? But you know over there in 1 Corinthians, the Bible talks about how that, you know, tongues will pass away and different things like that will pass away. But He said three things abide forever. Do you know one of them's hope? Yeah. Now these three abide. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. But He said all three are going to abide. A million years from now in heaven, there's going to be a place for hope. Somebody, you're giving them false hope. There's no such thing. Not if it's attached to God. Now, if it's attached to your facts, it can be. But there's no such thing as a false hope attached to God. Hope is eternal. How could it be false? Amen. Don't let people steer you that way. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope. He's the God of hope. You walk with God. You fellowship with God. He's the God of hope. Guess what you're going to be filled with? Hope. Oh, hallelujah. The God of all hope fill you with all joy. What comes with hope? Joy. And peace. As you trust in Him. So that you may overflow with hope. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the power of the Holy Spirit is going to produce hope in your life? Oh, wow. Hope. Hope. You know, we talk about here at Grace, our hallmark words are a place of hope, help, and healing. We want you to have an anchor for your soul. We want you to have a joy and a peace that comes from the God of all hope. And no matter what the facts may look like this morning in your life, I got good news for you. God's got a promise. You attach your hope to that promise, and just like Abraham, against all the whole facts, the hope in your facts, the hope in God's promise will cause you to become exactly what God said. Peaceful, joyous, victorious, blessed, healed, whatever the promise is. Amen? I'm preaching myself happy. Am I helping y'all, Annie? Hope, listen to this, hope becomes the antidote to the contrary facts of my life. See, you start looking at your facts of your life. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get sadder, sadder. Probably. You know. How many of you know when you can get all the ducks, the facts of your life in a row, they usually don't stay there long, do they? You know what I always tell you? I say, you're either coming out of a battle, trouble, amen, you're in the midst of trouble, or you're about to go into some. Oh, that's real encouraging. Well, here's the thing. It's the truth. But see, here's what I'm finding out more and more as I walk through this thing, is that it's not the externals, really, that are affecting me. It is the internals. It is the internal. Because it's how my internals react to the facts that affects me. Isn't that right? See, what we want to do is we want to get everything outside me just the way I want it. Well, how's that working out for you? But here's the thing. See, the Bible teaches us what we do is see is we get the inward man right, the focus on our hopes attached to God, so then whatever's happening around us does not affect us. Why? Because we can have what? Joy and peace. Why? Because our hope's in God. Our hope's in His promise. And listen, this is not an empty hope. This is a hope that God said it. He also will do it. Amen? Turn to 1 Peter real quickly. You know, I don't know who moved my clock, but thank you. Sorry, I don't know who did it. Somebody moved the clock back there. So whoever did it, thank you. I don't know who did it, but I have no idea what time it is. 1 Peter chapter 1, read a couple of verses. Verse 13 first. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Where did he say set your hope? On the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's where my hope is. My hope's not in, you know, what the stock market does. My hope is not in what the construction and the housing industry does. That's not where my hope is. Now, I pray over those things because I want people to be blessed. But that's not where my hope is. My hope is in the promise of God. My hope is in the God of integrity, the God of all grace, the God of love, the God who so loved He gave His Son. He didn't withhold His best. He's not going to start doing it now. Amen? Look down in verse 21. Through Him, talking about Jesus, you believe in God who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. My problem's already shrinking. Actually, they're the same size they always were. It's just that now they're being compared to a right scale. I see God in His bigness, in His greatness, in His love, in His care. And then I see my problem. Why in the world are you fooling around with those little old facts? Amen. It's God that matters. So hope will strengthen my mind, my will, and my emotions. You know, when it's in God. And if it's in the facts, it'll be just the opposite. Now, two things always vying for supremacy in my life. The facts and the promise. The facts and the promise. Anybody here deal with that? The facts and the promise? The facts say one thing. Amen. And listen, but behind facts, there is authority. That's what gives weight to them. Isn't that right? If the doctor says, this is what's wrong with your body, those are the facts. He's a doctor. He's a medical man. He's got science behind him. There's authority there. So that authority gives weight to the facts. Isn't that right? I mean, you know, if a mechanic told you that, you'd be like, oh, well, does he know? Isn't that true? So there's always, so when we look at the authority associated with the facts, okay, that gives a weight to it, doesn't it? A credence to it. Well, how about if we look at the authority associated with the promise? What kind of weight does it give when God said something? Now, see, this is a question we have to ask in our lives. Like what one brother said years ago, he said, if we'd start reading our Bible the way we read the newspaper the way we read the Bible, our life would be transformed. He said, because we read the newspaper, we don't know anything about the publisher, the editor, the reporter who wrote it, but yet we believe every word. But we read the Bible and we're skeptical. And he said, why don't we turn that around? You know, we should be more skeptical about a fallible man that we don't even know is reporting, and we should be confident in God who loves us and who has proven his love, is a God of integrity, a God who cannot lie. He's given us a promise. Why don't we put some weight of authority in that? Amen. I encourage you to do so if you're not already. Because if you don't, the facts are going to destroy you, even if they don't destroy you. You know, some people are fearful over presumed facts. In other words, worrying about the future, what might be the facts. I might go through a crisis in the future. I might lose my house in the future. I might lose my health. Come on. Those are not even real facts. They're presumed facts. Hello? Why are you borrowing from the future? Isn't today got enough to deal with? Isn't that what, that's what Jesus said, isn't he? He said, why are you taking thought about tomorrow? Taking thought about tomorrow and bringing it into today. He said, you got enough stuff to handle today. That's what he said. That's not in King James, but that's what he said. That's in Southern. Robert, you translate for your mom there. So here's the thing. My choice is a determining factor. My choice. And listen, you say, I can't help myself. Listen, that's not real. It's just that you've trained yourself a certain way for so long, and it's gained a strength in your life that you think you don't have a choice. But you do. You do. You always have a choice. Here's the thing you'll find out in your life. I may not always have a choice about the facts in my life, but I always have a choice about the promise in my life. I'm going to say that one more time. I may not always have a choice about the facts in my life. Things happen, don't they? People say, why did this happen and why did that happen? I said, do I look like God? Go talk to God. I don't know why that happened. But I know this. Things happen. Life happens. Doesn't it? And most of the time, it's not things we have choice over. But here's the one thing I do have a choice over always. I have a choice over whether or not I will grab hold of God's promise or whether or not I'm just going to let the facts dictate. I always have a choice about the promise are the facts, which is going to speak louder in my life. And that's exactly the choice you and I have to make right now, today, every day. But today, we've got to decide, what are we doing? If you're fearful, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling like hope is diminished, if you don't have any joy, I'm going to tell you something. Perhaps you haven't put the focus and attached your hope to the promise the way that you should. There's no condemnation there. We're all pulled that way. But here's the thing. The good news is there's help. There's hope. And it's in God. Amen? Deuteronomy 30:19, you don't have to turn there. God said this to the children of Israel. He said, this day I set before you choice. He said, life and death. Therefore you choose life. There's life in God. There's usually death in my facts. There's hope in God and in His promise. There's usually hopelessness in my facts. He said, so therefore today, He said, you choose. And then He went on and says, I encourage you, choose life. Choose hope. Choose the promise. Isn't that right? And He said, with that comes joy and peace. and an anchor for your soul. And so everybody around you could be, oh, wringing their hands. I don't know why we do that. What good does that do? You know? And all this stuff we talk, all this fear and stuff, how does that help solve anything? But if my faith, my hope is attached to God's promise, then God's at work. He's at work. Listen, God always, when He wants to do something in our life, He sends His promise first. Before Jesus Christ ever was incarnated as a man, God spoke for hundreds of years, saying, my son's coming, the Messiah's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Hope for mankind's coming, salvation for mankind's coming. It's coming, isn't it? Didn't it? Yeah. And those who grabbed hold of that and held on to that in hope, they lived their life on a different plane and a different level. And so now we have been given God's promise. What does God's promise say? One last scripture I want to look at, then we're going to pray. Turn to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 20. What do you know that God has said? What promise has God spoken that relates to the facts of your life? If you don't know, here's what you need to do. Get in the Bible. That's the book for me. That's the book for you. Isn't that right? Find out what He said. Isn't that right? I mean, if you were going to invest your money, your hard-earned money, wouldn't you at least do some research about the company? If you were going to buy stock, wouldn't you? Oh, let's see. We're going to play Ouija Stock Market. I'm going to close my eyes. Oh, there it is. No. You won't keep your money very long. I mean, you can do it that way. See, and a lot of times, see, we're throwing up prayers to God, but they're not based on a promise. That's why it seems like our prayer life is not benefiting us to the degree that God intended, because it's not based on a promise. Oh, God, help me. Okay, well, He wants to help you. What's a promise? What has He already said? What has He said to you? What kind of help do you need? Amen? It's kind of like if you say, God, give me a car. Well, He could give you one that won't run, got no tires on it, but you got a car. Come on. And then you go complain, oh, God, wasn't that kind? Well, you didn't tell me what kind. Isn't that right? I want one that runs and got some good tires on it or whatever. But same thing with the promise. So here's the first thing is, what is the promise? If you don't know, you've got to find it out. Get into the Scripture. Search it out. And once you do, here's what you should do with it. Verse 20. My son, daughter, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. This is God speaking. Do not let them out of your sight. Uh-oh. Keep them within your heart, your inward being. For they are life to those who find them. And health to a whole man's body. Wow. This is some good stuff, isn't it? Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. That's God's RX, His prescription for our well-being. As we face the facts, but we determine to attach our hope to the promise. Because remember what I said? The facts have a voice. Your circumstances speak to you constantly, do they not? Your finances will speak to you. Your body will speak to you. All kind, they will. So here's what you got to do. He says you've got to put the promise in your heart and mind night and day. You got to let them speak to you at least as much as the facts are speaking. Come on. Isn't that true? Shouldn't we at least give God as much of a chance as we would give a medical doctor? Or a financial advisor? Or whatever, any other person? Shouldn't we at least, wouldn't we at least think God's at least as smart as a man? Come on. So here's the thing this morning as I close. We've got a choice to make. We choose. You choose. I can't choose for you. You can't choose for me. I can encourage you in your choice. You can encourage me in my choice. I can pray for you in your choice. You can pray for me in my choice. See, this is the problem. See, a lot of times people are choosing to listen to and live by the facts. Then they come to me or you or somebody and want them to pray. What good is that going to do if you're not choosing the promise? How does he change the facts? Through the promise. How does my prayer come effective? When it's in line with the promise. Didn't Jesus say, pray this way, thy will be done on the as it is in heaven? Well, how do we know what the will of God is in heaven? It's the only way you know. So if you choose, I mean, that's like a doctor. If you went to a doctor, he diagnosed your situation. He prescribed some medicine for you. You took that medicine home. You put it right there on the table by your bed. And every night you went to bed and said, there it is. Got up in the morning and said, still there. You know, your husband or your kids or somebody came through and you held it up. See this medicine bottle? I got this from the doctor. That's some good stuff. It's great. What good would it do you? But we do that with God's Word. And you know, you go back to see the doctor and your symptoms are worse. And he said, oh, I don't understand it. Why are you worse? Did you get that medicine I prescribed? Oh, I got it. It's at home. I got it, Doc. It's at home. It's right by my bed. I see it every morning. First thing I see, and at night, it's the last thing I look at before I go to bed. He said, but are you taking it? I know, it's silly, but we do that with spiritual things. He said, this word is like medicine. Medicine only does you good if you take it. You must ingest it. And also, isn't this true? That medicine will only be effective if it's kept at a proper level. That's why they say take so much so many times a day. Isn't that right? Because if he said take 2-3 times a day and you take one time a day, then you go back and the doctor said, I don't understand. What's the matter? Well, I just thought. Well, somebody told me. Come on. We laugh about that, but we do it with spiritual things, don't we? So here's the thing this morning. We're going to close with this by us making a choice. A choice. He said, choose today. What are you going to do? Are you going to attach your hope to the facts only in your life? Or will you make the choice to attach your hope to God's promise? I want to read this again here out of Romans, and then we're going to pray. And in this prayer, you're going to make a choice. Not to me, but before God. Let me read it here again. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became as it had been said to him. This morning, everybody in here, there are facts in your life. Some may be worse than others. But here's the thing, they're facts. And if they're not today, I promise you, wait till tomorrow. Wait till tomorrow or next week. But it's coming. Isn't that right? So here's the thing we're going to do this morning. I'm going to lead us in prayer. And we are going, you and I, each one of us, we're going to make a decision before God this morning. And if you know a promise already, then you need to just make a choice. It's not a big thing. You just make a choice. You take my hope off of the facts. My hope comes on to the promise. The facts are still there. Nobody's saying they're not, but my hope is in the promise. My hope is in the promise. We make that choice. If you're not sure about a promise, then you make this this decision before God and said, God, when I leave this place today, I'm going to find out what the promise is that covers this area of my life. And then I'm going to attach my hope to this promise, just like Abraham. And when the facts say it's hopeless, I'm going to believe on and hope in God. Hope in the promise. Amen? So would you just bow your head so that you're not distracted? Close your eyes for a moment. And we're going to make a decision. We're going to make a decision this morning. A decision. A decision. Father, everyone in this room, we're faced with facts in our life. Undeniable facts. It may be a bad report from the doctor. It may be economics in our finances. It may be in relationship. Whatever it is, Lord, we're all faced with facts. And Lord, those facts are saying, it's never going to happen. Those facts are saying, why don't you give up? Why don't you throw in the towel? But Lord, we're making a choice this morning, a conscious choice, not based on emotion, not based on reason, but based on your promise. We make a choice to take our hope attached to the facts, and now we're going to put that hope in your promise. You are a God of integrity. You are a God that does not and will not lie. You are a God that loves us with an unchangeable, unshakable love. And so we choose right now to put our hope in your promise. And Lord, perhaps there's some here who don't know a promise right now. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name as they get into the Word of God that the Holy Spirit will show them a promise they can lay hold of and put their hope in that promise. And Lord, we're going to follow through like Proverbs, and day and night, Lord, we're going to write that promise down. We're going to look at that promise. It's going to be the first thing we look at in the morning. It's going to be the last thing we look at night. We're going to read it. We're going to meditate on it. And we're going to attach it as an anchor for our soul. And Lord, I thank you. Peace is going to follow. Joy is going to follow. And Father, in the process of time, just like Abraham, our hope in God and our faith in that hope is going to produce in us your promise. And then the promise will be the facts in our life. The promise will become the facts in our life, just like Abraham. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Would you keep your head bowed just for a moment longer? Just perhaps, maybe there's someone here. Maybe you're not right with God. You're not for sure. If I were to die today, Pastor, I'm not sure. If I'd go to be with the Lord in heaven, I'm not sure about my relationship, if my sins have really been forgiven. Well, I want to tell you what, before you leave this place, you can know so. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says that Jesus came as a man. He lived a perfect life. He went to a place called Calvary, and on Calvary, He bore your sins. He bore your pains and sicknesses. He bore the wrath of God for you. And now, everyone who calls on Him and believes in Him, they will be saved and forgiven. This morning, if you're here and you've never done that, or you're not sure, you just lift your hand up. I want to pray for you, up and back down. Lift your hand up and back down, and then I'm going to pray. I want to pray for you. Anyone at all, and give you a moment. Just give you just a moment. Anybody? Anybody? Hallelujah. Anybody? Hallelujah.